Okay. I'm going to kind of backtrack to Tuesday, because there was a real sense that I hadn't completed what he wanted on Tuesday. We had kind of digested as much as we could. So if you will repeat with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
My spirit perceives.
My spirit perceives.
And my heart receives.
And my heart receives.
That you're talking to me.
That you're talking to me.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 4. And there's an awful lot of meat in this particular chapter, but one of the most, let's say, dramatic verses was 2. The Holy Spirit wants us to have a level of dependency on God as we rest. And if you remember, you have to work at resting. It is the most difficult job to rest and not do what you think or what you perceive or what you've been told you should do, and then to sit and wait for Him to do. You feel useless. You feel that you haven't done anything. Your value system is in your soul and not in your spirit. So the first that I want you to go back to is verse 2. Indeed, we have had the glad tidings of God's proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. So what does that say to us? We better mix our promises with faith. Then the verse is in the Amplified, that is in parentheses, it says, that is, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, in His wisdom and goodness. But those who heard it, neither were they united in faith with Joshua and Caleb. The ones who heard did believe. So you have an example that two believed, and the others, where were they?
Unbelief.
Religious. I'm not trying to be nasty, but you see, if you and I were living in a slave mentality, for 400 years there's been an established truth. And your grandmother, your grandfather, back as much as you can conceive, have all been slaves. And now God is saying to you, I'm going to give you the promised land. And you're more than able to take care of this because I'm going to be the one that's going to do the work. But in reality, they were accustomed to doing all the work. And their grandparents were the ones that did all the work. And the great-grandparents did all the work. For 400 years they've been doing this. Well, we've got competition. Our grandparents have failed for 2,000 years. Yeah. So where do you think your mentality is? See, it's a different kind of slavery, but it's the same thing. It's the same problem. We're not relying on the Lord. And we've not been taught to rely on the Lord. We've been forced into activity. How many of you have ever entered the confessional? How many of you have ever had to say X amount of prayers in order to be forgiven? You see, the mentality is what? Servitude, to a God that requires something of a slave mentality in you. So don't look at these as a problem, because your problem is greater and of longer endurance. 400 years compared to 2,000, peanuts. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. I'm not picking on religion now. And I'm not picking on the Egyptians, because Abraham was told they were going to be in slavery for 400 years.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So is it a surprise that they were in slavery for 400 years?
No.
No. Did Jesus say, you're going to be scattered because the wolves are coming after you guys? Yeah. 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 Okay. Now, Joshua and Caleb believed. You've got some remnants of believers now. Two out of a couple of million people believed, along with Moses. Yes? All right. Now, verse 3, but we have believed, who have adhered to and trusted and relied on God, do enter into the rest in ordinance and accordance with the declaration that those who did not believe should not enter, when he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And this he said, although his works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundations of the world. So now you're going back even further than the 400 years. Now I want you to skip forward, because the Lord was pressing me to look at verse 12 of chapter 6. Because you see, I like to make sure that everything is established in two or three witnesses. So, verse 11 says, but we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through, in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, that is by their leaning on the entire personality on God. Leaning on the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, confidence in his wisdom, confidence in his goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promise. Is that a confirmation?
Yes.
But when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, saying, blessings I certainly will bless you, and multiplying will multiply you, etc., etc. I'm saying all this to make you aware that we could train on that and put all kinds of guilt on people. Because what good is that going to produce by putting guilt on people? It's not going to work. Okay? But believing the word of God versus how your emotions work are going to definitely bring a crisis within you. It's going to make you aware that your soul is still so much more in control than you'd like it. Your emotions push buttons more than you'd like. Your feelings pressure you into different choices. And believe me, the great majority of the time you're going to find whatever you choose is going to be what brings you the most comfort in your soul. Okay? I can tell you, you can make a decision to go on a diet and you find the refrigerator has abilities to light up in the most awesome spaces in your brain when you don't want to. Anybody ever decide to go on a diet and the refrigerator flashes before you?
Sure.
Amen.
Hey. Hey. Or you cook something in the oven and the smell is still there 2 days later. And it's not Lily's. It's either fresh cookies or whatever. Or a nice hot cake. Mm-hmm. I'm teasing you. But I go through the same just like you. Okay? And the war is real unless you ask the Lord to help you. Trusting in His abilities to take you to that finish line. That's probably the best thing that I can tell you. When you enter His rest, you're choosing to trust. You're choosing to rely on Him. You're choosing not to let the doubts have any more play in your mind. So, there are two kinds of abilities in God that He has pressured me on. When we confessed that we're justified by faith, Romans 5:9. We're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ in the courts of heaven. That's a reality. But do we believe it? So, that's one of the reasons I had you declare Romans 5:9. You're justified in the courts of heaven by His blood. You're not justified by the amount of work you did or how many hours you spent on your knees or how many days you spent on not eating, trying to perform something or making God perform something. I listen to people say, oh, we're going to fast and we're going to make things happen. Well, unless it's a dictate from God, have a good time because that refrigerator is going to flash for you before you realize it. But if God tells you to fast, that's a whole different cost because He's going to give you the grace. And the grace will carry you through in that fast.
Amen.
And the purposes of God will be served in that fast because it's His idea, not yours.
Amen.
All right? So, how about righteousness? E.W. Kenyon became a part of my life many, many years ago. And when I read these books, I can tell you that a friend of mine, who was an authority figure, told my wife that I was going to land in jail because I was standing on God's promises and acting accordingly. That's another story when I'm not going to go there. But what I want you to be aware of is this. When you start believing what God says about you, instead of what you feel, there's going to be some dramatic responses. One of the great failures of the church is that it teaches you, or has taught us, all about guilt, responsibilities, etc., etc., and how ugly you really are. But why we have failed. The church has been very strong in teaching man his need of righteousness. I could put a circle around the word need. Teaching about his weakness and the inability to please God. But the church has been very strong in her denunciations of sins in the believer. She has preached against unbelief, world conformity, and lack of faith. But she has been sadly lacking in bringing forward the truth of what we are in Christ, or how righteousness and faith are available. Most of our hymns put our redemption off until death. Got it? We are going to have rest when we get to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
We are going to have victory when we get to heaven. We are going to be overcomers when we get to heaven. We are going to have peace with God when we get to heaven. There will be no more failings when we get to heaven. We have nothing on this side except failure, misery, disappointment, and weakness. Does that relate to your past?
Yes.
What does he mean when he says you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power? When are we to be complete? Is it in this life or in the next? What does he mean in Romans 8:37? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When are we to be more than conquerors? Is it after death, when we leave this veil of tears? Or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in him through who strengthens me. When is that we are going to be able to do all things? Is it after we finish the course and stand with him in the new heaven and the new earth? He declares, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. When does this become ours? We hear nothing but condemnation preached. The ministry makes no distinction between saints and sinners. When does Romans 5:1 become a reality? Being therefore declared righteous by faith. Oh. If you're going to be declared righteous by faith, you need to start declaring it.
Amen.
Rather than waiting for a feeling of righteousness. See, if you're waiting for a feeling, it ain't going to work. And you're going to condemn yourself. Being therefore declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The ministers do not preach peace in the present. It is always in the future. When are we to find this glorious thing called peace? When is Jesus made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption? When? When Gail goes before the Lord and says, my husband's ear is bad, and I don't like it, and I have to wait. Then she can remember that the pastor said, it's your fault. Or she can wait upon the word from the Holy Spirit who said, cool it, girl. It's going to be fine. Yeah. And you taste it. And you know that you can advertise it. Because you felt it. And you taste it. And you can tell others about it.
Which I did already.
Which I'm sure you did. When is the sanctification coming? Is that to come to us at death? Or is it a fact for us right now? Ah. Him who knew no sin, God made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We know the first part is true, but is the last part true? Are we to become righteous in the present life, or are we to become righteous after death? Ooh, it's a choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this righteousness simply reckoned to us, or do we become righteous in him? Is this redemption metaphysical, or is it reality? Is Jude 24 to be dependent upon? Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy. Woo-hoo! Take that one to the bank. I want you to close your eyes and say, Jude 24. I can depend on. Now unto him. That is able to guard me. From stumbling. And set me. Before the presence. Of his glory. Without a blemish. In exceeding joy. Yeah. Yeah. Can I take that one to the bank?
Amen. Yes, amen.
Why? Well, you should be so, you know, awesome. If you could just die right now, you'd have it forever. Baloney. You don't need to die except to self. Amen?
Amen.
Unto him that is able to guard you. His ability is what? Huh?
To guard?
Yeah. His ability is what? How long was his ability? Has it got any limits?
No.
Ah.
It's absolute, isn't it?
Absolute.
And it's unlimited. And we run out of patience. Oh, I don't have any more peace. Well, wait a minute. Why did you lose it? Where did you believe that he just decided to move out? Did Jesus come in and just leave?
No.
No, he came in to reside and to abide. Wow. You mean I got to change the way I think? Yes. That's your responsibility. Lord, all this old pattern of thinking has got to go. I am righteous. I am holy. I am a saint. Ah, I can remember the first time the Lord showed me that St. Paul's letters are written to saints and not to sinners. And I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't fit my, you know, how I think about myself. He said, check it out. So I started reading the first few sentences of each one of his letters, and the majority he's writing to saints. Well, I was a sinner. In my own mentality. So I couldn't receive that information until I changed from a sinner to
a saint.
Then the Lord said to me, just look at it from a construction point of view. I used to work for a lumber yard, and we'd bring in the 2x12s, and then we'd bring in the 2x10s and 2x8s and 2x4s and 2x3s, and as we brought the different ones, the different levels of the building could be seen as it constructed going up. He said, why do you think you need 2x12s on the bottom? Because you got to support the rest. If that bottom board is only a 1x, the top ain't going to hold.
That's right.
Right or wrong?
That's right.
He said, now your foundations are wrong. John, his bricks, same idea. Okay? So he told me, your sanctification is a construction process. So I could tolerate myself by remembering that I was under construction.
Amen.
Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
There's a work going on.
There's a work going on.
I'm told in the Word.
I'm told in the Word.
That your dad was a carpenter.
That your dad was a carpenter.
Joseph probably had a few accidents.
Joseph probably had a few accidents.
Probably smashed his thumb.
Probably smashed his thumb.
A few times.
A few times.
Stubbed his toe.
Stubbed his toe.
Crushed his hand.
Crushed his hand.
Stumbled into different things.
Stumbled into different things.
And Jesus would watch.
And Jesus would watch.
He probably did the same.
He probably did the same.
And learned.
And learned.
That he was under construction.
That he was under construction.
I'm learning too.
I'm learning too.
I know I'm a saint by faith.
I know that I'm a saint by faith.
There's probably a few corners that are still in lack. But you're on the job, Lord.
But you're on the job, Lord.
You're a comforter.
You're a comforter.
You're a counselor.
You're a counselor.
And you're giving me understanding today.
And you're giving me understanding today.
That there's a process.
That there is a process.
Sanctification.
Sanctification.
Is happening now.
Is happening now.
Righteousness,
righteousness
is a reality,
is a reality
that I'm starting to receive.
That I am starting to receive.
And I can declare,
and I can declare
that I am righteous.
That I am righteous.
That I am holy.
That I am holy.
That I'm a saint under construction.
That I am a saint under construction.
And I can see the finish line.
And I can see the finish line.
By faith.
By faith.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
So your reliance is not on you. Your reliance is on him.
That's right. That's right. That's right.